Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 214, starting pitching preview part Trace. That's three for you that don't know the good language of Espanol. We're going ADP 51 through 80 this go-round. We'll wrap up SPs on Tuesday's show for your in-game targets. So we'll get to all that fun stuff, but in a minute, once we do our normal stuff. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
We're hanging in today. Today was a snow day. Oof. for the little ones, which we got about almost 3 inches of snow, which for the Willamette Valley in Oregon, that's pretty rare. So kids were pretty fired up when we woke up this morning, saw some snow. They were fired up to go outside, and then about 10 minutes later, they were about ready to go back inside, and yeah, cabin fever set in. Got ice tonight, so no school tomorrow either. But no, it's fun hanging with them for a little bit. By day four, day five, the weekend will come up. We'll be ready to go back to school once the snow clears.
Yeah, you're getting that single dad life that I get to enjoy. That it's fun for a while, then you just need to decompress type thing. That you know, once a weekend's over, that Monday for me, it's like you're gone. Thank you. See you later type thing. Yeah. I love you, but we're gonna do this later. Yeah. Dad needs his time, so that's good. I'm glad it's February, so that means the Pinot's off the vines there in the Willamette Valley, because I love the grapes up in that region, and that would be a shame if they froze over right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, it didn't get too cold. It's like mid-20s, but only for a couple hours, so good. I think your wine's going to be okay.
Oh, it'll be great. Now I'm nice and chilled. It'll be beautiful. Can't complain there, but good stuff there. I know we'll get into the show in a minute, but I'm watching it again as we're recording. If you and I are golf lovers, and you had snow, and the people down at Torrey Pines had a monsoon going through. Good Lord. Dude. That was something else to watch that. I know listeners probably don't care, but we texted about it, so I wanted to bring it up on the air. That was a fun but a tough watch, honestly.
It's for me, it's fun to watch them struggle, but also, yeah, that was just a brutal, yeah.
That's one of those.
Plus, they just played Torrey already, so I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
That's true. That too.
I get why they're there, but yeah.
Yeah. They got to be there for obvious reasons, but we'll see how the rest of the week goes there. Before we get to the preview, a couple announcements for you. Some of you pay attention to Twitter. Some of you guys saw it in the Discord. I talked about it when we created the Patreon, that Breakfast with Bubba would be coming your way. It's kind of a mix of things I've done in the past with quick hits, with the first pitch, some other things. All in one kind of vacuum, but at my schedule. It's kind of the perk behind it all. You know, the goal during spring training is to give it to you two, probably three times a week as news is necessary. Like, not a whole lot of news today, so maybe not one tomorrow type thing. Kind of play it as it goes. And then in season, the goal would be to get it to you hopefully every day during the weekday. But, you know, if I have a life and want to go do something on a Tuesday night, you might not get a show on Wednesday type thing. That's the beauty of having my show behind it. But you're going to get it majority of the time, as you guys enjoyed in the past with me. So it's on iTunes, Spotify, Overcast, and a couple other places. We're still working on getting it to other listening platforms. If there's a specific one you want, let me know. I'll keep trying to push for it. But once they get on the big ones, they kind of automatically go to the other ones. So keep that in mind. Just be patient. But Breakfast with Bubba is out there on most of the listening platforms. There'll be no video for it, just the audio. So, yeah, go check that out. That's for sure.
We already got a request for barbecue with Bubba. Yeah. So not to put more on your plate. No pun intended. Well, no. You can always do that as a fifth podcast.
Well, one thing I've always wanted to do, if like I became like really good at this kind of like videoing and stuff, I would do like a fancy baseball meets like cooking show. Like Bert Kreischer does this called Something's Burning, and he has guests with them, and they spend like an hour and a half cooking in the kitchen, but they also like interview. Like, I'd be so for that, but it'd require either having someone on stream with me or someone with me. And there's a lot of moving parts, but I would love to do like a let's barbecue or whatever type show and have a couple beers or noons and talk fantasy. And I think that'd be an absolute blast. I'd be all for that show. Just a little complicated is the only problem.
We'll do baby steps, but Breakfast with Bubba will be good. Great name, I must say.
Yes, and Ryan came up with that one, folks. That was a Ryan thing. I was brainstorming, and I was all over the map with some pretty bad ones. Yeah, honestly.
No, you had a couple. You had some good ones. You had some.
But you ones. Once you said that one, it's like, yeah, that makes too much sense. So it's pretty easy right there, yeah, for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, similar to what you did with the First Pitch Pod the last couple of years, like my morning commute, which is basically just me driving my kids to daycare and then going back home because I work from home. It was about 15, 20 minutes every morning, and like it that fit like perfectly. So I know it won't be exactly the same with you have a lot more freedom with what you want to do with it, which is awesome. But yeah, highly encourage everyone to check it out, and it will be a great endeavor on your part.
Yep, just more to do, which is I do it because I enjoy it. So we'll have some fun with that. And it's free to everybody. I know I said it was a part of the Patreon idea, but it will be free to everybody. It's not a Patreon exclusive thing in there. Yep. So you can all get a piece of that action and enjoy it. The other thing I want to mention, we only have a couple more weeks of this promo, but Baseball HQ, everybody, it is draft season. So if you want to get the draft prep subscription at baseballhq.com, gets you access to the entire site, the projections, the articles. I had an ALPT tomorrow come out on Wednesday. Ryan had his speculator come out on Wednesday, which Ryan always has. It's one of his awesome ones, and I'll let him talk about it if he wants, but it's the pitch mix like ratings, change ratings. That's awesome stuff there. You get access to everything from now until the end of April. So you get a full month of in-season as well of the good stuff at Baseball HQ. Use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM, for $10 off the draft prep subscription at baseballhq.com.
Well worth it. Well worth it. And actually, so the cover boy for my article this week, which was what I did, is I kind of run this article every year in the speculator. Is I call it change score, but I basically quantify how much each pitcher has changed their pitch mix over a certain amount of time. I usually do it sometime in May too. I like to see what the pitch mix change looks like from current year versus previous year. But this article, it was just comparing 2023 to 2024, seeing who changed their mix the most, who succeeded, who did not. Cover boy was Sean Manaea, who is, I believe, not to segue, but he is in this group of starting pitcher part three that we're going to talk about tonight. So maybe it is a segue. I don't know.
Ryan's almost turned professional, folks. That was impressive work right there from Mr. Bloomfield. It's almost like he's been coached by one of the best. No, I'm just kidding. That was really bad on my part. That was freaking horrible. That's not who I am. But I'm just going to stop talking now. But yes, it is a great segue because we're going to talk about him in the first bucket of ADPs on this chart, as we'll be going ADPs 51 through 80, going 5 by 5, picking guys we like, fade, kind of like we did last episode to cover most of the bases in this range. But before we go into these pockets, Ryan, I want you to talk about what we're seeing here, because even Brent Chesser mentioned it in a Twitter post. It's a whole lot of red, but it's a whole lot of red for a specific reason.
Yeah, a whole lot of red because we are looking at, in the red for those that are listening, is the projected ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts compared to the rest of the starting pitcher pool, right? So we're starting to go a little bit deeper into the pool at this point. There's some green, there's some white, which is neutral, which at this point in the draft, if you believe these projections, is actually a good thing to get league average production from your SP, I don't know, what is this, SP5, SP6 type range. So it's the same kind of formula as last time. The projections that we're showing and that we'll cite for the podcast are an average of Steamer and the Bat, which are both available over at Fangraphs, and then the ADP, which is, yeah, starting pitchers 51 through 80, but in terms of overall draft, it's ADP like 180 to 285 is from roughly the last 11 draft and holds over at the NFBC. So pretty fresh stuff, a lot of red, but I don't know. Like I said last time, pitcher projections, you don't totally throw your hands up at it, but they are very difficult to project. This is one where I think projecting pitchers, and I do it all by hand, is more of an art form than an actual formula and that sort of thing. Where I think, like on the hitter side, and this is kind of the where I think Chris Torres put out a post, was like, if you have, you know, a limited amount of time to prep for fantasy, it's like just trust hitter projections, maybe adjust playing time, that sort of thing. But spend your time diving into these pitchers and who changed and you know, what were the recent trends and that sort of thing. Because, yeah, pitcher projections can be very, very difficult.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. That's why if you do your research and you like these pitchers, maybe just use the projections as a very, very small piece of the puzzle here. Because this is more of a trust my gut, trust my work type situation at this point in time. And that's what a lot of this analysis will be as we talk here, which most of my analysis is, because I don't create projections, but when it comes to these deep pitchers, it's definitely like I could foresee a better outcome situation.
And I would also add that, like, yes, this is our third straight starting pitcher episode. Yes, we are getting deep into the weeds of the pitcher pool here. I would posit, use a new word, I would posit that this is just as important, if not more important, to know this part of the player pool than it is to look at your first five rounds of your draft. I mean, this is where if you hit on some of these guys, some of these guys will be major, major winners at their price. And to hit on the right ones or to not can very well dictate your fortune in leagues this year.
And Tuesday's show might be even more important, honestly, the end game pieces.
So yeah, we're going to go past. Yeah, we're gonna take this further next show. We're not going to talk about every pitcher post like 380p, but we'll do some blue boards and stuff around it too for Tuesday.
All right, let's kickstart things here. 51 through 55, Shane Boz, Seth Lugo, Sean Manaea, the speculator cover boy this past week, Zach Eflin and Taj Bradley. All right, Ryan, you take the only good pitcher in this range. What do you got?
The only good pitcher, damn. Yeah, I'll go Sean Manaea as my target. I just have a ton of Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea was the cover boy on my speculator piece at Baseball HQ this past week because Sean Manaea changed his pitch mix more than any pitcher in baseball. I forget what the innings threshold is or whatever, but any starting pitcher from 2023 to 2024. So that's a big deal for me, especially when you look at the skills growth that Sean Manaea showed in 2024. And then also, I mean, something that in the column didn't even account for it was the in-season change that Sean Manaea made. And that's kind of been well talked about, well documented, but roughly halfway through the season, Sean Manaea changed his release point, lowered it a little bit, and the first to second half splits for Sean Manaea are quite impressive. One of the biggest jumps in strikeout minus walk rate of any pitcher from first to second half last season, from 13% in the first half up to 19% in the second half. Swinging strike rate was up quite a bit in the second half, almost 13%, which is really good. Threw a ton more strikes, which walks were an issue for Manaea early on, and they were absolutely not in the second half. And I think best of all, like, Sean Manaea is just going back to the place where he made this work. He's back in Queens, and I think that's the best place that Sean Manaea can land. I'm taking the firm under on the projections that we're showing here, which is a 4.13 ERA, 1.26 WHIP for Sean Manaea. I have him down. Like I said, I do all these myself. I've got him down for a 3.80 ERA, 1.20 WHIP, 25% K rate. He comes out roughly 34th starting pitcher for me, and he is the 53rd pitcher starting pitcher off the board. So I think that's a really good value for Sean Manaea.
Yeah, I love him. I was just looking at my player shares. Somehow I only have a couple shares, which is a bummer because I think either people are taking them ahead of me or at that point of the draft, other things are happening, but I'm all about it. If you need a pitcher and he's on the board, I'm all for it. I have a ton of underdog shares. I know that for a fact of Sean Manaea. Yeah. Maybe not the best for that format, but if he does what he did last year, he's great for that format. So we'll see. So yeah, I love everything about it. And going back to the Mets where that pitch mix change, as you mentioned, that could bode pretty well. Like when we talked about Kikuchi, you were worried about going to Anaheim and keeping that change. Well, Manaea went back to where the change took place. So that's a positive. And when I had the guilds on the Mets, preview, he was raving about the team in general. But he kept mentioning with the pitching, especially is the pitching lab they've built there, that there is something brewing there. And we've seen some results in recent years with Manaea being kind of the poster boy of that as well.
Important too, that the Mets let him do this stuff. I think some organizations out there are like, oh no, don't change the Mets let Manaea kind of do his thing. And I think Manaea like picked it up from just watching Chris Sale on a start like midway through the season, and just the Mets let him do his thing. And I think that bodes well for, because Michael in the chat here says and brings up a good point that like Manaea requires believing that he can hold the changes again. Cause I mean, hitters will adjust to this new release point from Sean Manaea, and Manaea will presumably have to adjust back somehow. It's just good to know that the Mets will allow him and give him that freedom to do it. So.
Well, and a lot of these pitchers in this range, you're going to have to believe. That's just the way it's going to go. So, I meant this whole bloom board. You're going to have a lot of belief that things can change. This range, I'm just not a fan of in general. Like, I love Manaea out of this range. I'll just give like quick just bullets on all these. Like, Shane Boz, talent's great. I don't trust the workload. I'm not a big fan of. I know he threw 79 innings last year, has great ratios. All the xFIPs, Sierras said he well overachieved. I'm still nervous there. Seth Lugo, can he continue to be this accumulator, Alcantara-esque? I don't believe it. Zach Eflin, I like a lot if he can stay on the field. And that's been a continuous trend with Zach Eflin. And then Taj Bradley, like if I was going to pick anybody here, it would have been Taj just for the upside play in Taj Bradley. Like we saw bad Taj, we saw young Taj, then we saw bad Taj again. So we know the skills there. He's a very young pitcher. Can that all work, especially going to a ballpark that I think is going to favor hitting now, not the Trop? That scares me. You got Boz and Bradley here, two guys going to a now pitcher park from a hitter's park, or a hitter's park from a pitcher's park, which concerns me. So I just kind of don't go to this range at all. If I had to, I'd go to Taj in this range just for the upside, the K ability here. But as a whole, I don't like this section at all.
It's interesting, the Boz and Bradley, the Rays combo there, the floor versus ceiling proposition versus who I think was a much safer Seth Lugo and Zach Eflin. I think Zach Eflin's pretty safe. Like last two seasons, Zach Eflin's thrown 178, 165 innings. Like I think he's pretty safe, but I also don't think the ceiling is very high for Zach Eflin or Seth Lugo. And there's a point to be made, especially if you're in like a 12 or shallower type format. At this point in the draft, you're starting to kind of look a little bit more at the ceiling and what these guys can do for you. So I guess that's the case for Boz and Bradley, but I think Manaea is just the best combination of both. So,
and there's a few ceiling plays coming up I take chances on before I take a chance on those. And that'll be the next range here at 56 through 60. You have the GOAT of the Bloom boards, Nathan Eovaldi. He's a ceiling type guy. Mackenzie Gore, I've professed my love numerous times. Spencer Arrighetti, Luis Eel, Nick Pivetta. Like, I almost like this entire range, Ryan, outside of one guy. So who would you like to discuss in this range? Because you have a couple guys, including a new San Diego Padre.
I mean, this is near and dear to my heart. Two Blue Boards legends, Eovaldi and Pivetta. Eovaldi's kind of the original Blue Boards legend. Pivetta's been on there a bunch. I like both of those guys the most out of this group over Gore, Arrighetti, and Heel. I'm fine with Gore and Arrighetti too, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about Pivetta too much. I just think, given that he just signed with San Diego, yes, it's a great thing that A, he signed, but then he's also landing in San Diego. I think you'll hear a bunch about Nick Pivetta on other articles, podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. So I like Pivetta. The price will go up. Nate Eovaldi, I don't know if the price will go up. I think this is a very nice kind of place where Eovaldi's going, 195 ADP. Yes, you've got some injury risk with Nate Eovaldi. I'm not going to run away from that, but did throw 171 innings last year, did finish the season through 98 innings in the second half, and just signed a 3-year contract with Texas. Like, all those factors tell me that Nate Eovaldi at least is healthy right now. And I think at this point in the pitching pool, like, that's what I need to know. I don't know how long Nate Eovaldi is going to last, but heck, if he goes 170 again, like he did last year, I mean, this is a great value. So strikeout minus walk is really good. 18%, almost a career high in terms of swinging strikes last year for Nate Eovaldi. Threw a ton of strikes. The ball rate's really good. So just like everything about Nate Eovaldi looks really solid. Pretty good ground ball rate. I think I kind of feel like the market is baking in a little bit too much injury risk with Eovaldi. And for all those reasons that I just talked about at the top, I don't really believe that's there. And at a 195 ADP, I think this is a really good pick. Eovaldi is actually my 38th starting pitcher by my projections, and going in almost 60th overall. So at the position. So I love him. I love him. Always will.
Yeah, no, I think Eovaldi's phenomenal, especially if we're talking ceiling play like you mentioned. So I like that a lot. I love Pivetta. Dude's got like over 170 Ks in back-to-back years. He's just a machine there in San Diego. Arrighetti, almost talked about him. I think there's a ton to like. He can maybe jump over the Hunter Brown hype by the time the season's over with what we saw towards the end there. So I think there's a massive upside play in that. But Mackenzie Gore, I know I've talked about him, I think, for the last couple of years on this show as a dude I like, but he keeps making baby steps in what I talk about. Like, he's not taking the full jump, but he keeps improving in the stuff we keep discussing. This last year, he upped his innings 30 innings, got to 166. They've worked him up there. The walks still can be an issue, but the ratios got better. 3.9 ERA. We looked at a Sierra of 3.98, so it's not too far off of what you're hoping for there. The K to walk still only 16% because he walked 9% instead of 9.8. Okay. What I love to see, though, in the second half of the season, the ratios dropped tremendously with Mackenzie Gore. It came at the sacrifice of strikeouts, that's fine. But it was a total pitch adjustment by him, a pitch mix, pitch strategy. Could have been a bunch of different things with Mackenzie Gore. We had a 3.72 ERA in the second half compared to 4.01. Like I said, the strikeout rate dropped, but what came up in a big, big way in the second half, ground ball rate went from 34% to 48%. That is a tremendous jump, and that was why I would signal pitch mix change to me. I didn't look that up. I probably should have, but that's just a young pitcher becoming a better pitcher is what it looks like to me. He's getting the job done. He's going deeper into games. He's giving his team a chance to win, and now if he takes another step this year, he can blow away this ADP. At 201, if he can get you 180 innings, you still see a 24% K rate. Maybe the walks drop a little more, keeps the ground ball rate, and let's say even just 40%. Let's not say 48, but keeps a good 40% ground ball rate. I think there's a ton to like here and a massive ceiling. I know last year I said, why can't he do what Robbie Ray once did? Because it was always home runs and walks with him. That was a big issue. Yeah. He's gotten better at it. I don't know if he's ever going to get there unless he takes a massive stretch. And do the Nats have it in them? I don't know. But I think there is a definite room for even more growth with Mackenzie Gore. So I keep going that direction. You keep smirking over there. So what is it?
No, I love the Robbie Ray comp always. I'm guilty of it. It's like, yeah, this guy walks everybody, but he could be really good because Robbie Ray was really good for a season or two. I do it too. And hey, I mean, Blake Snell's kind of that same type of guy as well. So maybe it's not just Robbie Ray, but that's why I was smirking a little bit. Gore's like, I'm not totally there with you, but I think he's fine at this price. It's just interesting. The projections have Gore down for a 128 whip, though he has never had a sub 1.4.
That's why my whips are always bad, Ryan, because I always
like
Gore.
Like, yeah, but like bad is being nice.
Yeah.
At a 1.4 whip is like truly horrendous. And given like Mackenzie Gore had 166 innings last year of a 1.4 whip. Like that is tough. Granted, so I'll give you, and this is why the projections have whip improvement kind of baked into it. The BABIP was pretty brutal for Mackenzie Gore last year. I don't think he posts another 1.4 plus whip next season. HQ, we've got him like a 1.32. So that's fine. The thing that I like about Mackenzie Gore to me, like he's only 25 still. I feel like he's older than that. And I need to get over that. And I also need to get over like Mackenzie Gore as a complete like wild tosser, because the walk rate has improved from 12% in 2022 down to 10 in 23, down to 9 last year. Mm-hmm. The ball rate, which is whenever I see changes in walk rate, I go right to ball percentage. League average on that is 36%. Mackenzie Gore has improved that every single year that he has been in the majors, down to a league average 36% ball rate for Mackenzie Gore last year, while also getting more whiffs, kind of like you said, even though they did tail off a little bit in the second half. So I don't know. All that to say is Mackenzie Gore comes out about for me at cost. So I'm fine taking him. It's just I haven't ended up with him on a bunch of teams. Do you worry about the volume with Mackenzie Gore with the injury history? I had 166 innings last year, but before that, it was a career high of 136.
It's not an injury thing, though. The 136, that's when they shut him down. They were monitoring his innings. They shut him down in like the last month of the season. They flat out said that. So, because he went from 70 to 136, now to 166. They've been monitoring him because he is so young. They got him in the Juan Soto trade with CJ Abrams. Like, they want Gore to be one of their dudes. He was a high prospect there. So it wasn't an injury. He was shut down for monitoring. It's almost like he's an NBA player.
Give him the old who's the dude on the Sixers? Jesus.
Joel Embiid.
So bad. Embiid, yeah.
Yeah.
I like our niche of like comparing baseball players to basketball comps. We've got Yordan with the Greg Oden knees, and now we've got load management Mackenzie Gore.
Yep, that's all it was. It was load management. And I think they needed to get a new phrase for that too, by the way.
All right, anything else
in this range?
I mean, we did talk about Luis Hill. I know we're not going to talk about everyone, but we have a listener question later on about Arrigetti, so I'll table that. Like, I don't really know why, but like, I have no interest in Luis Hill at this price. I think it's more, I would take Gore over him. They're all at the same ADP, 201. Arrigetti, I take over him. I'm taking Pivetta over Luis Hill all the time. And I don't know. For like a rookie of the year on the Yankees, you'd think you'd get a little more hype, but like Luis Hill, I don't have much interest in.
Yeah, the rookie of the year thing to not be moving up is the one I talk about a lot, going like, what in the world? It's weird, but the way he finished the season, he didn't give me any optimism, really. And yeah. The projections, again, you know, you got to pick your poison on your projections, but coming off a rookie of the year season, you think the projections might even look better? They don't. They still have Marcus Stroman.
The skills there weren't that great. I mean, yeah, the walk rate, really, for Luis. You can't have a 12% walk rate is
it's horrible.
Is rough.
It's bad. Very rough. So, yeah, I need to see a lot more than to take a chance, not to mention, like you said, the rest of the guys in this range. Okay. All right, ADP 61 through 65. You got Tanner Houck, Clark Schmidt, Brandon Woodruff, Yu Darvish, and Drew Rasmussen. Another interesting range here. So give you the floor first, because I know you're not apparently a fan of this range by looking at the outline.
No, I'm not a huge fan of this group. Like, granted, I probably, and some of this maybe because I had just grabbed Evaldi or Pivetta or maybe even Gore on some of my teams, and I'm looking elsewhere. I'm not trying to kind of go back to the starting pitcher well right after that, but I'm not too excited by Houck, Woodruff, Darvish, or Rasmussen. Clark Schmidt will be my kind of my pick of this group, though I think you definitely have some, you want to talk about injury risk, like 97 innings last year, missed 3 months with a lat strain. Did come back and finish in September, so like that's good. The skills look really good. Like 12.5% swing strike is good for Clark Schmidt. Would like to see more ground balls in that park. So like I don't love Clark Schmidt. I certainly don't think he's going to post another 2.85 ERA like he had over 85 innings with the Yankees last season. But I also think you're not paying for that at a 2.23 ADP. So like I think Clark Schmidt is fine if he can stay healthy. And I have, even though there's some, I think, injury risk with Clark Schmidt, it's less of a risk than basically everyone else going in this group. Maybe not Yu Darvish. I should look at Darvish a little bit more, but that's what I have on Schmidt.
Yeah, I don't mind Schmidt just because of the price. I think he's a darn good pitcher. So if we can avoid the injury bug, then I think he's a pretty good price here. Darvish, I'm always a fan of. I somehow haven't landed on him too much this year for some weird reason. Before I get to my pick, I do want to mention Brandon Woodruff. Talked about it on Breakfast with Bubba. He is going to face live batters on Friday. So the day you probably download this and listen to it. That'll be the first time he faces live hitters since his shoulder injury at the end of 2023. So it's been a long time for him. But this is insanely promising because, like, I wanted nothing to do with Woodruff. Didn't know where his situation was because really no reports. Came out, said he's feeling great. The team said he's feeling great. Great enough to actually start facing hitters. That's a big plus for me. Now, I usually don't like drafting hurt guys, but we're talking ADP 224. So, like, if you're going to take a gamble on a guy that I – a lot of these pitchers in a 12, you're going to drop at some point. Yeah. So I'm not saying like go run out to get Woodruff, but if you believe in projections, look at the ERA, look at the whip. Mm-hmm. I know we don't know what the innings are going to be. We don't know what his stuff's going to be, but the fact he should be ready for opening day is a humongous plus in this conversation. So I just wanted to bring that up with Woodruff because early in drafts, you guys know me, even Ryan, we just don't touch these injured guys. I am more inclined to look at a Brandon Woodruff right now just based on this news. And half the news we hear right now is going to be just complete garbage and half of it's legit. So again, let's see how he throws on Friday and those kind of things. But if there's any positive movement here, I'll be more inclined to take a stab at a guy like Woodruff around here. Just going to mention that real quick.
Yeah. For some reason, I love Woodruff. I remember the first year of this podcast, I think when we did starting pitcher rankings, I think both of us had him as a top five pitcher. Yes. It's like, oh Jesus. Obviously didn't work out. I don't know. Like, even if Woodruff does make it through the spring and get there, I'm still worried as hell about the injury risk with him.
Let's be real though.
What?
Woodruff, there's definite concerns. Eovaldi, there's definitely concerns.
Much less so. Much really? Less so, I think.
Really?
Beer bet? Innings pitched? Eovaldi versus Woodruff?
Let's circle back to that in a couple of weeks. Oh, well, I want to see him pitch to guys on Friday. Like, let's get a little real about this.
I'm trying to strong arm you here.
If I know they're both starting on opening day with the big club, we would probably have a beer bet, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We'll circle back. I'm not saying no.
Well, I'll add it to the sheet as a provisional.
Sounds provisional. Good. The guy I put down here, though, is Tanner Houck, ADP of 213. Again, this isn't the best of range, but you're starting to take darts here. And with Houck, a couple things I did like to see this past year, he made 30 starts, so he stayed healthy. The jump from 106 to 178 could concern some. The drop in strikeouts was concerning, but what we saw was great ratios, which we had seen in previous seasons, not named 2023. So that was a tremendous plus with Tanner Houck. We even saw a 114 whip, which he's been a 114, 116, 113 outside of that 2023 season. So elite, like not elite, but very, very good ratios for this point of the draft. Let's put it that way. Near 21% K rate, but a 14% K to walk. We want more than that. I think there's a definite skill set here that we can build with. Massive ground ball pitcher, near 56% ground ball rate, been above 50% for three straight seasons. So he might not get you all the strikeouts you're looking for here, but could get you really, really good ratios. And it's a stat we can't really predict, but it's Red Sox offense is going to score a lot of runs. So Houck could find his way into some wins in this on this team as well. So I think Houck is just kind of a boring floor play here. I don't know if we're going to get a ceiling, but a pretty good boring floor play. And he's I looked it up when I was doing some underdog research, a ton of quality starts. So he gets deep enough into the games to get you ready for some wins, which is a big plus as well.
So my big thing on Houck, I don't think I've drafted him yet on any team. It's just the way he finished the season. It was bad. Like the second look at first, second half splits with Tanner Houck. And I think that's something you can do because it was Tanner Houck's first year being full time in the rotation, right? So it was 106 innings in 2023 for Houck. He made 21 starts, but really last season it was the full 30 starts and Houck fell apart. But you can take that one of two ways, right? That like he just wore down and 2025 he has now experienced that workload and presumably will have a better chance to carry over that first half version of Tanner Houck further into the season. So like I totally get that side of the coin. I just usually have problems taking pitchers who fell apart that much in the second half. And it doesn't like it was a 380 ERA in the second half. Like it wasn't terrible, but you look at, I mean, the K minus walk dropped from 20 in the first half, which is really good, down to 7, like control just went away. So I think he broke down. And so that again, that can either go one of two ways. And it's kind of that, are you feeling lucky type of thing with Tanner Houck. And I don't know, man. These days, I'm not feeling lucky.
I will say, if you go by the month to month, is September, he made two or three really strong.
Back.
Yeah. He had 14 innings, 5 runs, 11 Ks, only a couple walks. So his final month, his August was horrific. August was dreadful. But the good other point. Months, not too point. Bad. I think he probably wore down more than anything, but he did at least finish a little stronger than the big pitcher does say. Okay. All right, before we take a look at 66 through 70, I've been mentioning Underdog on the show here, and you all know we love Underdog on this show. We've had the Underdog Primer. We had the Is Baseball Season. It's time for baseball season, doing a Dinger Draft, and we want you all to go check out Underdog and play with us over there. Play some Dinger contests or some cheaper contests, some more expensive contests, whatever you prefer for your season-long fantasy best ball style over at underdog.com. And when you're a first-time deposit person, use promo code Bubba Bloom, BUBBABLOOM, to get a first-time deposit match up to $1,000. Deposit $100, get $100 extra on top, all the way up to $1,000, get $1,000 on top on your first deposit at underdog.com, promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word.
You'd be proud of me today. I did two dingers on my snow day today. And I managed to not go 8 pitchers, 6-6 in either one. So, and I didn't take Mason Wynn. So, no, I'm not to the stacking level yet. I gotta get a few more reps to get to stacking. That's still a little above my.
I'll be really proud of you. I'll be really proud of you when you start doing some slow drafts. That's when I'll be really proud of you,
dude.
I just kidding. No.
Like if I tell you that I'm doing an not to bag the promo we just did. If I tell you I'm doing an 8-hour underdog slow best ball, like I have been kidnapped. That is your sign.
Yeah, that's fine. Teach their own. All right, to the right side of the board here on the SP3 preview. ADP 66 through 70. Things are going to get a little more interesting. Apparently, he likes going blonde. Bowden Francis, that's his thing. Got his teammate Jose Barrios, Jesus Luzardo, Gavin Williams, and Walker Buehler. This is quite the area, Ryan. So who do you like here? Because I don't see this person's name there.
Who did I put?
You put nobody.
Oh, I put nobody. Yeah, okay. No, I don't like this. I mean, like, so like if I have actually drafted Jose Barrios in draft and holds.
Yes,
just because I want like someone who I think is going to throw a bunch of innings and hopefully not destroy your ratios in doing so, like Jose Berríos did a couple years ago. Outside of that, like I don't believe one bit what Bowden Francis did in the second half last year. I just need to see more strikeouts. There's just way too much contact there. I put in the Discord today, apparently the update on Bowden Francis is he went blonde.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I guess he just dyed his hair.
Yeah. Didn't go full PCA, but yeah.
Did you see that? PCA. Oh,
I tweeted out to our buddy Uncle Ted and said, go check on your boy.
Go get your boy, Uncle Ted.
Yeah, go check on him. Make sure he's okay. Yeah, seems like someone's hanging out with Machine Gun Kelly or something these days. I don't know.
Yeah, weird look from PCA. I didn't see photo evidence of the Bowden Francis going blonde, but doesn't factor into my fantasy analysis. He can do whatever the hell he wants. I don't care. But I just don't like the lack of strikeouts with Bowden Francis. Jesus Luzardo, I think you'll talk about. Gavin Williams, I want to see him make it through a season. Ditto Walker Buehler, who, yes, looked great in the postseason as a reliever. I have no idea how he will hold up as a full-time starter across a four workload. And I like a bunch of the guys going after this group that we'll talk about at the end, too. So for all those reasons, I put nobody for Bowden Francis, Jose Berríos, Luzardo, Gavin Williams, or Walker Buehler in the 228 to 245 range.
That's totally fair. Jesus Luzardo, I am a huge fan on taking a chance at this point in time. Jesus Luzardo has an ADP at 240. Jesus Luzardo was, you know, before last year's injury situation, and he's had injuries in the past, so that's fine if you want to say that. He's coming off a great 2023 season where people had high expectations for this one, once highly touted prospect finding his groove, basically. He gets traded to Philadelphia, as our buddy Brent Hershey and others have said. If they're willing to trade for him, he should be healthy for now. We'll see how long that lasts for. But again, at this point in the draft, I'll take the for now with a guy like Jesus Luzardo, because we know when he's on, it's an electric factory. He's got big-time strikeout stuff. He can, you know, the ratio was 3.58, 3.32 in back-to-back seasons before last year's nastiness in a short sample. Before last year, we saw 20.6 and 21.3% K to walks, 28% and 30% strikeout rates over that time. Just pretty much elite approaching ace type stuff from Jesus Luzardo. Does he get back there? Who knows? That's a $1 million question. But at ADP 239, I am all about finding that out. I know the ballpark can be a deterrent for some, but I don't care. You love Aaron Nola. I love Zach Wheeler. If you're a good pitcher, I don't care what the ballpark you're in personally. And he's got a team around him that's going to score runs to get him wins. So I'm a believer in Jesus Luzardo. I'll take my chances here. If he gets hurt, we drop him. I'll take him over Nathan Eovaldi if you want to make that bet too. But yeah, I love me some Jesus Luzardo this year.
Sorry for the dead air. I'm stunned. Nathan Eovaldi. It's a good point. And I think the kind of the point you made of it doesn't cost much to find out is extremely valid at a 240 ADP with Luzardo, who, I mean, if you look at the 5 ERA last year, skills are much, much better than that. And yeah, Brent Hershey did make a really good point that the track record of the Phillies with starting pitcher health has been pretty good. So it, you know, blindly trust an organization, but it might mean something that Philadelphia did acquire him. And then also, I mean, we have a scapegoat, right? If it doesn't work out, we can just all blame Brent. So yeah,
blame our boss.
That's typically
whatever goes wrong there.
Yeah, that's typically a good way to go through life. But yeah, we'll do that anyway. Yeah.
As Spore points out in the chat here, I do like Gavin Williams to take a step in that group. Believes in Cleveland as an organization. He saw flashes. My Cleveland preview, Jake Hollisker, said the same thing. Like he's very optimistic on a potential improvement of a season that makes Gavin Williams' ADP of 245 pretty nice, all things considered. So another guy I don't mind. Again, we're getting to upside range, especially in 12s. So I'll take these guys that are upside bound compared to like just the boring, what are we doing here? So it's like, as much like in the last group, I like Yu Darvish. I think there's signs there. Like, I don't think we're ever getting the ace Yu Darvish again, where a guy like Luzardo or Gavin Williams could take a nice jump above that type of situation. So that's how I start picking my pitchers here in the later rounds.
And some of this too is starting to be my shifting mindset from draft and hold leagues into fab leagues, where like this is a point in the draft where maybe you expect these guys to be in your starting rotation all season long. Like if you can get, if like Paul says, if Gavin Williams takes that step forward, and like my biggest concern with Gavin Williams is the innings, but if you get good Gavin Williams, 120, 130 innings of him, and then either falls apart, gets hurt, whatever, in August, that's probably still a win at 245 ADP. And so I think that's one thing I need to start kind of my mindset changing is going from that draft and hold. I have these guys all season long versus what I can do with them in fab leagues, especially once you start getting to 250 ADP and later.
Yep, most definitely. All right, let's hit up 71 through 75. Your boy, Nick Lodolo, leads the way here. You got Manel Blanco, Reese Olson, Jeffrey Springs, Ranger Suarez. The floor is yours. I'm going to go take a walk real quick and let you wax poetically for a
while. Was this the biggest? What was the bigger slam dunk me putting on the rundown, Evaldi or Nick Lodolo?
Oh, it was Nick Lodolo in a heartbeat because, like, and you put Evaldi with Pivetta. I knew it'd be one of the two, so that's why it wasn't a slam dunk for me. Like Lodolo in this range, when you got to go first, I'm like, yeah, it's walk away time. It's yours.
Yeah, I don't know. I yes, Nick Lodolo has, and we put this in the forecaster. He has never completed 125 innings in a season as a pro, so that is obviously not good. But we also threw an upside. This is Greg Pyron's box. We put an upside of Lodolo, which I firmly believe in a 325 ERA, 180 strikeouts. Like I think the swing and miss is there. I think the skills are good enough. I don't love the park, but Nick Lodolo doesn't give up like a ton of fly balls. It's been like a mid 30s fly ball rate most of the time for Lodolo. So that can work in Great American Small Park. And I just think like Nick Lodolo has gotten extremely unlucky on the injury front. Right. It was the leg early on. He had a middle finger sprain in August. Like I just think a lot of the injuries that were piling up for Lodolo were not really like it was leg, groin, finger last year. In 2023, his left calf tendonitis. 2022 was a strained lower back. Nothing related to the arm. I know maybe like the back, it's all connected, of course, but like it's nothing shoulder, elbow. Like I think Lodolo, if he just has a run of good health, I don't know, like to what we were just talking about with like Tanner Houck. I don't know what like a second half Nick Lodolo looks like if he does make it through a full season because he hasn't been able to do it before. But I think Nick Lodolo is like a decent bet to post a career high in innings and do so with pretty damn good skills at a 250 ADP. So, and I'm still not bitter over last year as well, no, where he was like my favorite guy. But you know,
hey, I'm with you on the Lodolo train. I've been taking this as it's kind of like the way I think of Lizardo. Like if anybody's going to take a massive jump from here, I'm with you. Like going through my player shares, most regular pitchers I have, you know, going five of my teams, like 35% of my rosters. Lodolo, Lodolo and Gore I have on four, like so almost 30% of my rosters. Like I am trying to get these guys later on. Big fans of the potential upside in this range. So yeah, I got nothing to add. It's your boy. You got him locked and loaded for sure. For me, if Paul is hanging around, I'm going with his boy Reese Olson, Detroit Tigers. Big fan of what we saw from Reese Olson early last year. Missed the month of August with an injury, so that's always a bummer. But really, really good stuff overall. Still finished with a 3.53 ERA. The supporting rate indicators looked very, very strong as well. Strikeouts could have been better, to be honest. He had it all, near 22%, but a 14.6% K to walk. So you like to see more there, but I think there can be more there. And I'm going to take a little tweet here from our buddy Michael Simeone, who tweeted something out yesterday.
Our guy came out of retirement for this tweet. This was a big deal.
It shocked me. I had to make sure it was him. He's put two tweets out in the last couple of days. I'm making sure he's okay. He announced it on Twitter, so I'm not going to say it. He's got a little one coming, so he's probably enjoying some free time, which is good for him and his wife. So, but Reese Olson, his slider, 22.1% swinging strike rate in a 41.4% O swing. That is electric. Change up 20.3% swinging strike, 38.6% O swing. Four seam is an issue, but I think there's some upside for the 25-year-old. That part almost got me more than anything. He feels like he's been around forever. He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
What in the world? Like, he's still so young. There could be a room for growth with Olson. And if we can get him towards 150 innings, you could get a guy with really, really strong ratios at this point in the draft, which is great. With some K upside, if he starts utilizing that changeup and that slider more, like this is another guy that could take a jump, like a Lodolo, like a Lazard. Like these are the guys we're looking for in this range, like Gavin Williams. Like these are dudes that can take a jump. So I love Reese Olson, and I at 254, like give me that all day long.
I'm with you. I like it. Yeah. Anytime you mention like two elite pitches going, you know, at an ADP of 250 plus, like, automatically means you have a bad fastball. And yeah. And it is a terrible fastball. Like, I was looking up the numbers as you were talking. The four seamer for Reese Olson has a swinging strike of 5%, which is like really, really bad. And he doesn't throw it for strikes. It's a 37% ball rate on a four seamer. You want that much lower. But yeah, it's if he, and he already kind of, Reese Olson, like, already kind of tries to fade his fastball. Is like a slider's most used pitch, 28% usage last year. There's the changeup, 22%. So he's trying to kind of pitch around the bad fastball, but can kind of only do that for so much. But yeah, I think Reese Olson's like a tweak away from being really good. And I like that here. So.
And I may be just speaking just pure crazy town now, but you know what else? Had a horrible fastball, but two really good pitches that took a massive jump last year that I was all excited about?
No. Who?
Tanner Bibee.
Okay.
And he was also about this age.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to make that much of a jump, but literally it's just a pitch mix change potentially that could lead to a tremendous, like, what would stop us from seeing Reese Olson be drafted around 150 next year? A pitch mix change. That's all it is. Or at least that's the way I see it. Probably more than that.
Or he just gets traded. He gets traded to Cleveland, and then they know what to do with these types of guys.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, my bad. It's all right. Detroit can have Casey Mize step in there. He's my guy.
Oh, later. God, you're still on that train.
I'm back. No, especially with the Cobb news. I'm back, man. I drafted him today. Drafted old. I'm back. All right. Real quick. Ronel Blanco is just, I think, criminally undervalued here as well. You disagree with me, but I think Ronel Blanco is, like, everyone knows he's not going to be as good as he was last year. We all get it. I think Ronel Blanco is actually like a decent SP3-4 that you're getting at a SP5 price.
I'll admit Blanco is like a blind spot to me. I just can't get over the fact, like, if we think Bowden Francis is this massive BABIP guy and all this stuff, Ronel Blanco's in line there too. He had better strikeout stuff. What? Don't get me wrong. He had better strikeout stuff than Bowden Francis. But there's like so many Spider-Man gifts if you start looking at their situation. But I will say, Russell Withers on the Houston show, he broke down some very valid things with Ronel Blanco. So he supports you on that one. And then Spore here says, it's last chance saloon for Mize, but he's with you, Ryan. He's with you as well. So
kind of with me.
Yeah, kind of with you.
Definitely going to Matumbo your Bowden Francis Ronel Blanco comp. That's bad. That's more egregious than my Dylan Cease Aaron Nola.
No, because these guys are going like right next to each other in drafts. No. And the age difference. Blanco's old.
Blanco is
he's old.
He's a late bloomer.
He's not even seasoned. He's just old.
He's a late bloomer.
There's a difference.
Yeah, I am ending up with quite a bit of Ronel Blanco. I think the job is safe. He threw 170 innings last year. I think he'll get wins in Houston. I like him. I like him a lot.
All right, let's hit up 76 through 80 here. Nasty Nestor. Why is he still at ADP 273? Cortez, Michael Walker, Jackson Jobe, who is pretty much locked in a rotation spot now, Kumar Rocker, and Cutter Crawford. Now, if you want to talk about an upside pocket of ADP, here you go, Ryan. So who's the name you want to discuss?
I want to discuss Kumar Rocker just because I think if you're going to, like, a typical question we would get at this point of the pool is like, who is someone going in this range who you see being like a top 30 starting pitcher next year? For me, it's obviously Kumar Rocker. I just think, yes, he needs to throw the innings to be able to get there, but the talent with this guy is off the charts. I'm hedging a little bit that he starts in the rotation. You'd have a better gauge on that than I would, but I would have to think Kumar Rocker breaks camp in the rotation. So I think Kumar Rocker, and again, it's a 280 ADP, like, if it doesn't work, whatever. No, it's fine. Let's go.
It's funny you mentioned that rotation thing, because I threw out a scenario in a recent PT Tomorrow article about Kumar Rocker. Okay. And when the Rangers started whispering, the whispers got a little louder on Wednesday about John Gray potentially going to the bullpen to close. And I'm sitting there going, besides Gray's injury, you know, history, why would you take him out of a rotation with other injury prone pitchers? And I said, so Kumar Rocker could have a spot in the rotation. It makes it so easy to be able to slide him in there now instead of kicking out Cody Bradford, who they want in the rotation as well. It just lines up perfectly for the Ranger situation. They want Rocker in the rotation. He needs to be in the rotation. It seems like they're trying to make a way for him to get into the rotation. So I'm with you there. The only question I'd have with Rocker, which you don't care about at this point in the draft, is how many innings does he throw? If they shut him down, you drop him, totally fine. Just get those innings and run. So, yeah, he's a phenomenal pick here. Because, Ryan, if we were to wake up tomorrow morning and Bruce Bochy in that 9-gallon jug of his walks out and goes, and I respect Bruce, so people should understand that.
That's your guy, man. You're going after his dome.
Jeez. Oh, I love that. Oh, no, because he has an 8-head. They had to make special hats for him. He has an 8-head. If he comes out tomorrow morning and goes, hey, Kumar Rocker, he's going to be our 5th starter day one. Like, he's in. That ADP starts climbing rapidly.
I think Kumar Rocker is another, like, if he goes out this spring and does his thing, it's like, look out. I think he could be very much a riser in March.
100%. All right, I'm going to do, like, we've done a lot of take your chances, guys. I get it, but you can't take chances everywhere, and I've taken a few throughout these pockets. So I'm going Nestor Cortez. I am baffled by this ADP. I've been drafting him wherever I can in whatever format I'm drafting because he's going late in underdog and in NFBC, you name it. Nestor Cortez is going. He's an in-game pick right now. Nestor Cortez is remembered for giving up the grand slam heard around the world in the World Series. That maybe has something to do with it. I don't know. But this is a guy, 174 innings last year with a 3.77 ERA and a 4.02 Sierra. It's not even that bad, all things considered. A guy that's had a 17% or better K to walk over the last 4 years, two of those years over 20%. Last year had a 5.5% walk rate, a 1.15 whip, 1.25, 0.92, 1.08. Those are his last four whips. How many of these guys we've been talking about, Ryan, with horrific ratios in this range? Nestor Cortez does not have horrific ratios. And if you go even farther, he's got the good strikeout rates. So now you start looking. Last year, Nestor Cortez had 100 and I got to zoom in to make sure I'm reading this properly. 162 strikeouts. He had 163 strikeouts in 2023. So we're talking about a guy that gets you at least 150, 160 Ks, could get you a sub-4 ERA with a 1-2 or better whip at this point in the draft. Like, sign me up for that immediately because it allows me to take those chances we talked about. I guess gives me a solid base. And I'll take Nasty Nestor all day long. I love everything about this, and I don't know why he's going so late right now.
Yeah, a blind spot for me. And you're selling me on Nestor. I think for me, it's the elbow. Like, it wasn't really just the playoff home run that he gave up. It was like, I think that was that his first appearance back?
I think so.
On the IL,
let me check his game logs real quick. I think he took weeks off because he threw four out. He threw on September 18th. He did not throw again until he threw six shutout on September 18th. He allowed one run in his final three starts over 15 and a third innings with 20 strikeouts.
No, that's good to know. Cause I think I'm docking Nestor a little bit too much for the elbow issue later in the year. Cause he did come back. And like you said, I did pretty good. And you could have told me he threw 174 innings. I would not have believed you. I didn't know he threw that many innings. So you make a good point for Nestor. I like it. Fly ball guy that will no longer be in Yankee Stadium. So you like that. So I do want to shout out real quick. God, this is a fun pocket.
It is.
I was on the Wins Above Fantasy podcast last week with Steve Giswelli and Van Burnett. And we did this thing. Steve put together like a bloom board and it was actually quite impressive. I gave him my kudos. But Michael, we did a thing where Steve averaged the player rater of the last two seasons versus ADP and see what the biggest difference is. ADP versus how they finished the last two seasons. And Michael Wacha was the player by far who is being drafted so far behind where he has finished the last two seasons. Michael Wacha's going, they have 272 ADP on his thing, whatever, 274. Last two seasons has finished 84th and 121 in the Fangraphs player rater. Now, granted, that is a totally results-based type of analysis, but Michael Wacha, I feel like, and we've had Kevin Hastings in the chat with Wacha, Wacha, Wacha in the chat there. I just think, like, is Michael Wacha someone who the skills will never jump off the page, but he just does good things, and he has done good things for quite a while now and is being taken way after the production that he's had the last few years. So I'll just throw that out there for Michael Wacha. Like, you want to talk a low ceiling, like, this guy is like an attic, but he's safe. And at 274, if you don't want to take the upside shot, you want to go safer, Michael Wacha, I think, is fine.
Yeah, it's crazy. He still has like a 20% or better K rate in five straight seasons. He just doesn't, you know, go like it's funny. It's looking at his numbers. He doesn't rack up the Ks, but it's not that he doesn't strike guys out. He's just, the whips are low. The ratios,
dude, the whips are
low.
Like, dude, the last 3 years, 112, 116, 119 whip. The ERA has been under 350 each of the last 3 years. I mean, it's kind of like that Kyle Hendricks thing where it's just like, at what point do you just kind of, eventually it goes off the rails, but at what point do you just, like, it's kind of nuts that someone with those results the last three seasons is going 275.
And what's even better, 13 wins, 14 wins, 11 wins.
Yeah, good point.
Yep. Like, he's just gets the job done. I remember we talked about him. I remember when we first started recording, I did a live pod, a live OC, and we talked about, it was like 2 days before the season started, and we're like, wait, Waka's got two starts. You can take him and drop him. And that was like the start of this run of just being this dude that's boring. And for OCs, it's tricky because he's not racking up Ks. And like, the ratios are still good and you want the wins, but you start falling behind too much in Ks if you got more than one Wacha basically on your roster. You can't afford to do that. So, another reason why I've pounded strikeouts so early on these shows I talk about. But yeah, Wacha deserves that for sure. I want to bring up Jackson Jobe just real quick. I know he's a very popular name. People love him for good reasons. He's developing a nasty curveball apparently right now. And you mentioned the Alex Cobb thing. Yeah, this basically gets Jobe a spot in the rotation as well. So that ups it. Like, his ADP is going to climb now that he's in that rotation. And again, it might be like Kumar Rocker. How many innings? Who cares? Take him, move on. And Jackson Jobe could be that dude as well. I like Rocker a little more, I think, but it might be just because I've seen Rocker do it a little more.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe color me old and skeptical. Like, just because Jackson Jobe is working on a couple new pitches this spring, that doesn't move the needle for me.
I thought we wanted to be excited about new pitches, like pitch mix changes. Well,
if they're good pitches, but like, I think everyone's tweaking with pitches in the spring. I mean, that's kind of what you do in the spring. So I don't know. Shout out to Cutter Crawford here as well. I know we're just kind of talking about everyone at this point, but it's feel like, pocket. I mean, it's what we're doing. Cutter Crawford, I think, is somebody who you talk about Boston run support, someone who threw a good amount of innings last year, someone going very cheap, and I think has a another level to him. Cutter Crawford showed up on my Picks Mitch Change article at HQ, kind of developed. He's a very heavy fastball guy in 2023, joined the sweeper revolution last year, threw the sweeper. I think it was a brand new pitch for him. Threw it 20% of the time, 15% swing strike. It just gives him a secondary pitch to at least have hitters think about something other than the two fastballs that he throws. So that was a nice step forward for Cutter Crawford, who I think is pretty safely in Boston's rotation, has a decent ceiling, is going 284. So I like him as well.
Yeah, and I'll throw this out there as a take for some, and I mentioned it elsewhere. I would take Cutter Crawford over his teammate Tanner Houck, personally. I'd rather take
So you really like Cutter Crawford.
Well, if we're talking upside, and I think he could take another step, you mentioned the pitch mix change, the fact Crawford threw the innings last year, I'll take him in his strikeouts over Tanner Houck for sure.
Yeah. Yep, agreed. I like it. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, so that's why I love these parts of the drafts. Like that, and this is where you also see, like, if you look at an NFBC ADP board, the mins and the maxes are way farther apart because people start taking their dudes. And that's where you kind of need to find your pockets. So, like, we've talked about some pockets we don't like, but then somebody like three pitchers, well, that pocket we don't like, now you might have a like one other guy move into it type thing, if that makes sense to anybody in a weird way type situation.
Can I throw out a comp?
Yeah,
go for it. A comp? I don't know if you're going to like it. Like, Cutter Crawford's a poor man's Bailey Ober. Fly balls, home run risk, but gets you good whip. 111 and 112 whip the last two seasons for Cutter Crawford. Misses bats, almost 13% swing strike each of the last two seasons, and throws strikes. Like, I think, again, not saying Cutter Crawford is Bailey Ober, but it's that type of profile that I kind of like, since we focus on ERA so much.
I could see it, and Spore agrees with you. So there you go. Yeah, so you have Cutter Crawford compared to Bailey Ober. I have Reese Olson to Tanner Bibee. Look what we're doing, folks. watch out. Maybe one day we'll go big fantasy on you.
You gotta go out on a limb with some of these guys at this point.
You gotta look for an upside in this part of the draft. There's no doubt about it. Yep. All right. Listener questions coming from the old Discord here. Actually, we have a couple from X. Let's get to those before I forget about them. And then we'll hit up the Discord questions here. Okay. Our buddy Brent Chester says, do y'all like the move to San Diego for Pivetta? There's a lot of red on this board. So I love it. I really didn't care for the most part where Pivetta went, but I'm pretty stoked to have him as an SP, the third in the rotation there.
Yep, same. I mean, first and foremost, just glad he signed now, because we had talked about this the last couple of shows. Like, it's starting to get to that point in the off season where these pitchers, especially the starting pitchers, need to get in camp and get going. So stoked that Pivetta signed. Even more stoked that it was San Diego. I think it's a great landing spot for him. Now the thing is, it's not going to be a 208 ADP anymore for Nick Pivetta.
Yep.
I don't know what it will be. Maybe moves to like 180, something like that. I don't even know if there's been a couple OCs. There's probably an OC today where Pivetta was taking.
Well, I was just like, I was on the Breakfast with Bubba. I was saying like where I would take him. So like, you have Ryan Pepiot at 168. I take him over Pepiot. Like Brandon Fotts at 166, Alcantara is 164, Ronaldo Lopez 163, Gossman 161. I think he falls in that range, that 160 to 165.
I could dig that, and I think I still might take Pivetta.
Yeah, over like Fott would be the discussion. There, Fott would be the only one in that group I would not take Pivetta over. But yes, so I think he falls in that range. That's just my two cents to the question. And then our buddy Brandon Waddle at Corked Wood. Why do projections hate Arrigetti? K seem really low. What's the consensus on game started?
Was it just me spitballing here? I look at the projections for Spencer Arrigetti. That's why the Ks are low. Like, the innings pitch projections on Fangraphs are all around mid 130s to 140. And I would take the over on that for Spencer Arrigetti. So I think it's more just the projections are low on Arrigetti's volume than anything else. And I think the projections are also, as they should, I think they're weighing a 2023 season in the minors for Arrigetti, where if you, and what we do for in the forecaster at HQ is we call a minor league equivalents. We kind of take, you know, a 26% strikeout rate in AA in this league equates to 23% in the majors, kind of a thing. I'm just making up numbers, but it takes the minor league performance and kind of scales it down to major league. Spencer Arrigetti in 2023 had a league average strikeout rate. And so, like, I think projections are taking that into account a little bit as well. I would take the over on Spencer Arrigetti's 146 strikeouts, over on the pace and the innings pitched. I do worry. The thing that gets me with Arrigetti is the control. Like, I just don't like, unless you're a Blake Snell or Robbie Ray type, to go back to that comp. And maybe Arrigetti can be that with like a 30% strikeout rate type of thing. It's hard to be an effective starting pitcher, go deep into games, get wins with a double digit walk rate. So that's my biggest holdup with Arrigetti. But I don't know. You look at like some of the expected walk rate stuff, the ball rate stuff for Arrigetti, it says the control should be a little bit better. And yeah, a 29% K rate in the second half for him last year. Like, I think Arrigetti, if you want to go with him there at 201, I think that's a fine move.
Yep. No, I agree with all of them. All right. Discord listener questions. Bobo Beyond says, where should Joe be drafted if he actually starts in the opening day rotation? Great question.
I'll let you take that one. You're the Job guy.
I've never really been a Job guy. Well,
I know between us two, you are more of the Job guy.
He's going 277 now. I think the hype train will get him up to like 225-ish, I would say. I'd say between 200 and 225. It depends on how big the hype goes. But I think he'll make a substantial leap if they come through with that, for sure.
What are we looking at innings-wise for Job? Like, that's my worry.
I agree. It's a tricky one, but I think people like him so much. Like, if you look at Steamer's got him for 130. Because between the minors and the bigs last year, he threw 95 innings. So 130 is not out of question. Like, that's doable. Yeah. The bat has him at 115. Like, if he hits 130, he's definitely around pick 200, maybe even higher, honestly. If you believe the talent, that's a whole other question.
Yeah.
So it's a sticky situation, to say the least.
I mean, I'm taking, even if it does go up to 200, I'm taking Evaldi, Pivetta,
Yes.
Probably Gore at that point, over Joe. Yeah. It's
take the risk probably later
just on. My preference. Yeah.
Exactly. Take the risk later. Simple. BP says, our buddy, I have Mackenzie Gore on an NL only keeper roster. I already know the answer I'm going to give. I'm fine with that projection. Yeah. If he can shave a half run off the air, can he do it? Yeah, he can.
And I think he can shave. We talked about the whip. I think he can shave off. There's plenty to shave off there, but I think he can shave quite a bit off the whip as well.
Raj 12 says, does Pivetta jump out of the tier now that he has signed with the Padres? Should he? Yeah, I believe he does.
Yep, and we said that 160-ish range is kind of what we're thinking, so I like that.
Colin M. says, assuming this is the last SP one, who's your favorite? We'll get you next week, Big Dog, because there's more to come.
Yeah, this will not be the last, but let's throw out a – let's I'll throw out – what was the rest of the question? Like, who do we like in the next group?
Yeah, who would have been in the next group? So post-285, essentially.
I mean, I'll go the brothers Holmes. I don't think they're brothers, but Clay and Grant Holmes and David Festa. More on them next week.
Grant Holmes is criminally underpriced in this range. Like, that's one that I will go to battle for sure. To name another one, we've talked about Kumar Rocker. We've talked Jackson Jobe. Give me all of the Bubba Chandler. All of that. But Grant Holmes, you got to draft. That's all I guess. Like, the fact he's still going that late is mind boggling to me.
Yeah.
He's their version of Schwellenbach this year. I think he's that good. So we'll see.
And I do like, we talked about this on some show before, but I like Grant over Clay. I probably like Clay Holmes more than most, but I still like Grant Holmes even more.
Yep. I'm with you. Sean Charge says, between Lazardo, Williams, and Lodolo, who breaks out this year?
What was the first one?
Between Lizardo, Gavin Williams, and Lodolo, who breaks out this year?
I would say Lizardo.
Yeah. I'm obviously biased there. So, yes, Lizardo is the dude for me.
I'll put my Lodolo glasses off. Yeah. Say Lizardo.
Lizardo was an ace already. So he could get back. There's the thing. DeSawa, or sorry, did you need? Brett Allen has entered the chat. D Sawa says, compare Shane Boz and Taj Bradley. I can never decide which one I like more. And they both been spending a lot of time in my queue.
Interesting. So that's probably this episode, the guy I anoint, I don't know what to do with him. So I'm not going to draft him as Shane Boz. That's for me. And I think for the price, I think I want a little bit more of an innings track record than Shane Boz. So I'd take Bradley over Boz. Bradley is a tough one for me to figure out as well. I think Bradley has a super high ceiling, but man, when he's off, it's kind of like the Pablo Lopez itis. It's when he's off, and it's ugly. So, and I don't know. I'm not really drafting either one.
And I agree with you. And I think the other part is, I'll speak for both of us here, is we really like the next range. So it's like, we're not going to force it on a Boz or a Bradley when we don't really have a good feel for it, I guess, when we like so much of the following picks. Yep. So changes things up. Ben, they're talking Corbin in the chat. Never mind. So that's it. They're talking Mitch Keller. Corbin and Ben did going with Mitch Keller. Right, there
so, we go. Yeah, now it's good. Time to.
Yeah, we're good. Mitch Keller, he'll be next week.
Yeah, where is Mitch on this thing? I guess we'll get to Mitch next week. Mitch is cliffhanger, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to talk Hunter Brown. I mean, Mitch Keller on the next show, as Ben would like to say. All right, my friend, we did it. Part 3, 51 through 80. Final thoughts. This is a very nice upside range for sure.
Yeah, I think we identified quite a few targets that we like out of this group, and certain sub pockets that we don't. Which, kind of repeating myself from previous show, it's valuable to know where you don't like to take starting pitcher, and then look at other positions there. So, I think we covered some good ones. Thank you to everyone in the chat tonight. Chat was popping off without Uncle Ted. The chat was still going, so I appreciate all the comments, the interaction there. We tried to throw up as much as we could some of those comments on the screen, but appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight.
Yep, thanks for hanging out, everybody, and for you, Bubba and the Bloom Listener League folks, Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
League One, get your auction ready, folks.
We will have had, by our next Tuesday show, we will have had three listener leagues. Underway already, so I cannot wait for the auction. We will get it looks like we're going to have, if not half of our 10 leagues, a little bit more streamed. So very excited for that. People are very enthusiastic, and the Discord has been quite active talking about their leagues and who's streaming and when, you know, which league everyone is in. So yeah, man, listener league start in a few days. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Monday, February 17th, President's Day, Britton Allen and Kevin Hastings will be streaming their draft. That'll be the first one streamed, the second draft overall. So a lot of fun stuff there. Auction formats, looking forward to it. And once again, thank you to all you listeners from growing that from 4 leagues last year to 10 leagues this year. Really awesome stuff. Thanks for all you Patreon folks. If you still want to join up, it's patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We do our best to make it worth your while, trust me. So come swing by there. Lots of cool stuff, especially for draft season. Just the aggregator, the draft tool alone that Ryan has put together is worth it all, not to mention everything else that goes on there, like the mighty, mighty Discord. But we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday with part 4. Deep, deep targets at the starting pitching position. But until then, you can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 214. Catch you all next time.